OTB AM with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
I've been making the case that Andy McEntee deserves a lot of credit. He kind of hasn't publicly admitted that they've turned into a team who've looked at the problem and tried to solve it, whereas the rest of the Leinster counties have looked at the problem and said, I don't want any part of that. Andy McEntee has the problem of facing Dublin guaranteed if he wants to progress. And he's like, well, how are we actually going to do that? The rest of the Leinster counties have decided we're going to become super defensive and try not to get beaten out the gate. And I'm thinking, you know, fair play to him.
Yeah, I suppose he has. You know, and in defence of the other counties, you know, maybe they have to move towards that, because, you know, I think there's steps along the way, Ger, that you have to get to reach that point.
This stage of grief, is that it?
Yeah.
Denial, acceptance. Where are me?
Exactly. You know, the stages of grief are ripe. Well, I put it this way, I would say Andy would love to be in this position now with this team in his first year rather than where he is now. So what I mean by that is he has finally molded a team, I think, that is physically and athletically able to withstand and stay with Dublin for, fingers crossed, the duration of the game. And if you look over the last number of years when they've played them, they've done relatively well, you know, for 50 minutes, 55 minutes, 60 minutes, you know, in different games. And then, like a lot of teams, they've fallen away towards the end. I think one of the things that you know, and we can get into the Kildare game if you want or not, and maybe you don't want to, but so one of the things that really surprised me was how hard they were going at the end of the game. You know, I think in the second half, they really impose their athleticism, their ability to get up and down the field, their runners coming from different positions on Kildare. And although the first half, I thought they stood off a bit and were a bit tentative, they engaged a lot more and they increased the intensity in the second half, and that ultimately just put the sword to Kildare. So I think what has happened is, you know, Andy and a lot of other people in Meath, there was a spell there, and look, I've bemoaned this on this show with you guys for a large number of years. I think after 2010, Meath went for a very different type of player. They went from big, physical, strong players to kind of fast, small players. Now, I'm not saying maybe those some big physical guys weren't available in the county. I don't really believe that. I think a number of guys were jettisoned off the team, you know, maybe before their time. But there was this kind of idea that team, that generation that I finished with, you know, were seen as being slow, and that the game had now gone to a speed game. So what ended up was Meath ended up with an awful lot of very, very fast, smaller, lighter guys, which were great in kind of open games where it was open country, especially say against some of the Leinster teams, not Dublin. But when they came up against a Dublin who had fast but bigger guys, more physical, more able to withstand hits and hit you, or when they came up against the likes of the Armaghs of this world or the Donegals or the Tyrones, who ended up, you know, producing a massed defence. So in a massed defence, of course, it doesn't matter where your speed is because you have very little room to run anyway. They came a cropper. So I think over the last 4 to 5 years, you know, Meath has been developing. Most of the clubs have been developing. They've been developing players. The underage teams have been developing. The academies have been developing, and they've been developing athletes, I suppose, first of all. You know, it is the Gaelic Athletic Association. The athlete is in there. And they've been developing guys who then, when they step into the senior ranks, they don't have to start from ground zero. Like, if you look at Matthew Costello, for example, I know Matthew well from my Dunshaughlin days. You know, he's 6'3". He's 19, 18 or 19 years of age. But, you know, he's a specimen. He's well able to handle the rigors of senior football. You know, he's a big lad and he's well able to motor. So he steps into that and, you know, he kind of goes, yeah, this is no big deal for me. I'm able to, of course, it's a step up. But physically and athletically, he has done the work over the last 4 or 5 years to get himself into a position where he's well able to take it on. So I think Andy has a team now, Jared, that are able, number one, to hopefully stay with Dublin. Then it gets into all the other stuff, you know, around the actual football side.
the football side specifically, what I'm talking about is actually a team who's desperately trying to score goals, because, like, how else are you going to beat this Dublin team? I, you know, chances are they aren't, right? But you've got to try.
Yeah, well, yeah, you have to try. There's no point going in there if you
most teams
try.
Don't try. That's the thing. Like, you know, you listen to the various managers in Leinster, and their job is damage limitation so that the team isn't so shell-shocked by the time they get to the qualifiers. And you know what? In years when there's no qualifiers, they still do the same thing, and it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll go back to it, and I saw the boys and a lot of people all talk about, you know, Meade shouldn't fear Dublin. Meade should fear Dublin. Like, I mean, absolutely they should fear Dublin, because they are the best team of, you know, a generation. So, and fear, you know, is a funny thing. It you know, it can debilitate you, of course, but if it's addressed, which I'm sure Andy and the rest of the management team and the coaching team are doing all week, you can use it to your own advantage. So, you know, it heightens the senses. It makes you much more concentrated. You know, you can't drop your guard, and you have to be ruthless. So when you get opportunities, you have to be ruthless. Like, I listened to Mickey Quinn's, you know, kind of 5-point plan during the week, and you wouldn't argue against any of that. But I suppose that's the game within the game. I think the mentality has to be set this week. And the mentality is that, listen, we've absolutely... Of course, there's something to lose. It's a big game. But, you know, it's a game where they can go out and they can be courageous, you know. I'm going to quote someone. You might get this now, Jer, because you're at the same kind of stage in life. But Mulan, there's a great quote in Mulan. I used to quote other people, but now I'm quoting Disney characters, where she says that there's no courage without fear. So the two of them kind of go hand in hand. Meade have to be brave, and Meade have to go for goals. They have to be as efficient as they can. They have to stand out as defenders. They have to take a step in front of the men. And they have to apply pressure on Dublin all over the field for as long as possible, and at periods of time during the game. And they have to obviously be confident in their own minds that they can take Dublin. And that's the only way to go into this game. It's a one-off. You've no back door. So you have to go for it.
That's a really good analogy there. The Mulan quote is definitely the best cultural reference we've had this morning, Anthony. Like, do you reckon that the fear does actually at times set teams back then? Are you confident, basically, that this Meade team can channel that into courage? Have they shown that they can channel this into courage? Like, what it was the representation of that in last year's match between them, for example, in the championship? Was that courage, or was that just bad execution that resulted in 4 points on the day, or how would you qualify those things?
It's a tricky one, Owen, that, you know, I think you can get lost sometimes in the preparation for a game. You can get lost in the intricacies within the game. So in other words, you can get lost on matchups. You can get lost on, okay, we're going to play for a 10-minute period, and then we're going to, you know, we're going to apply pressure on, say, Cluxton's kickouts, full court press. Then we're going to pull back. Then we're going to do this. Then we're going to, and what can happen is players will nod at you. You know, I've seen this from experience. Players will nod, and I was one of them, I'm sure, as well. But then when they drive home, they're kind of going, well, you know, where are we again with that? And what can happen is the narrative can take over for all the stuff within the game, but the mindset isn't correct going into the game. So I'd go to your own county. You know, I think a couple of weeks ago against Cork, the narrative around and the mindset around that whole game was that Cork would be dispensed of pretty handily. And as the game progressed, the Kerry players went, actually, yeah, you know, this is what we believe. This is the kind of tone that was set maybe during the week, and we think we will do this. Now, of course, they got caught with a sucker punch, but they were in a position to be caught with a sucker punch, which they never should have been. And if I think their attitude was right, and attitude is of course they wanted to win the game, but if I think the mentality was right throughout the week, and it can seep in with something very, very small that is either said by a coach or a manager, or again, as I say, if you get into the nitty-gritty too much, it can just kind of disperse within the team, and all of a sudden it gets into the mind of a player. So I think all week, Andy, I would suggest, and you know, from knowing the guy, I would imagine the guys are in there saying to the players, look, this is a situation that, yes, we are playing the best team in the country. You know, someone has to beat them eventually. you know, we have the rivalry. We have now the physical attributes to do it. You're all feeling good. You're all, you know, strong runners. You're all able to play football. We have got a game plan in place. Don't worry about that. But the first thing they have to do is they have to get that mentality right, which is, yes, have the fear, but have the courage to stand up to the fear and go beyond it. So when I talk about a defender, it's a very simple thing in the defender's mind. You know, just taking that yard behind or even half a yard behind a forward basically says to the forward, listen, I'm fearful of you. I'm going to allow you to get the ball out ahead of me, and then I'll try to defend you there. When you take a step in front of the man, it's like going from, you know, standing on the precipice to standing 10 yards back from the precipice. You are right on the edge. So you're challenging not only the forward, but you're challenging yourself, and you're challenging everything within you from a time as a kid to say, well, actually, can I do this now? And it's a big step, but it only really comes from, a manager can't tell you how to do that. You have to do that yourself, and you have to do that within the game yourself, and you do it with your teammates. So, you know, to answer your question, I don't know, going on around the houses, but I think the main team, it's no more about the matchups and what we do with Fenton and what we do with Clarkson. I'd nearly be saying, listen, it doesn't matter who picks up Fenton, you know, whether it's Brian Menton, whether it's Ronan Jones, we have the players to do this. Doesn't matter where Con O'Callaghan goes. If he goes out from full forward to 11, out to 12, doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference if Kilkenny plays in full forward, because that's the game within the game. But if your head isn't right going into the game, doesn't make a difference what you do within the game. You'd be bet by 15, 20 points.
If you remove yourself from the meat point of view, then how impressive have Dublin been so far in your view? And are they still at that very high level that they've shown, obviously, for the last 6 years?
You know, I think it's so ingrained in them now, Owen. You know, when if you tick the boxes, you know, the athleticism, the power, the ability to play football, the game plans, the big players and the clutch players in the right positions, and then they're kind of, you know, the supporting cast then can change. You know, it could be a new guy, it can be an older guy coming back, it doesn't really make a difference. So the template is there. The big change, I suppose, is Desi Farrell and is the new management team. And there's no doubt about it. I think Desi and the new management team will be feeling the pressure. This is a big game for them. This year is a big, you know, you're coming in and you're filling the shoes, which are fairly big shoes of a guy who has, you know, won all around him. So, you know, there's no doubt about it that they will be feeling the pressure this week. I would have no doubt about it. And I know he has heaped the pressure back on the players, and he said, you know, this is every game is like an All Ireland final, and that's a good way to do it, because I think the way to remove pressure from a player is to go back into process. And I think Dublin are very good at that. They're very good at processing and going, okay, we have a process of dealing with, whether it's Longford, whether it's Westmeath, whether it's Laois, or whether it's Meath. They just have a process of dealing with it. And they say, okay, this is how we're going to prepare. But again, to get back to my previous kind of just topic of mentality and narrative, it's very simple for that narrative to change within a player's mind, that all of a sudden that process starts to tweak a little bit and they start to feel pressure. And it could be the older guys or it could be the younger guys. Perversely, I think this year has probably helped Dublin. I think a number of those older fellas, and when I mean older, I mean guys who've just been on the run for the last 6 or 7 years, I think they probably really enjoyed the break, you know, of getting back to the club. I was speaking to one or two of them about 2 or 3 months ago, and they were saying that they were delighted to be back at the club, they were delighted to be back playing club football, back with their buddies, and probably a bit off the kind of hamster wheel of the Dublin inter-county scene that it has been for the last number of years for them. So if anything, that's probably a warning sign for the rest of the country, in the sense that they're probably rejuvenated.
Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m.